Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, Living Waters. It is awesome to see you this morning. My name's Ryan. I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters. I don't get to be here that often because my part on the team here at Living Waters is to be at our Willoughby campus. So we meet in two different places on a Sunday morning, here in Fort Langley and also over at Willoughby. And so I have the pleasure to be able to be over there most Sundays. Over the Advent season, which started 2 weeks ago, we've been going through a series called Big Joy. And so we started this 2 weeks ago, where Leanne shared with us about the hope of Jesus and the joy that it brings. Leanne spoke to us of the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. We were reminded through these two faithful people that they were ordinary people who were empowered by the Holy Spirit to participate in what God was doing. The exciting part of this for us is that the hope that Zechariah and Elizabeth had is to be the same hope that we have, because it is the same promise-keeping God. So whether we are female or male, young or old, tall or short, rich or poor, God's promises are new and rich for us because he is a God that does not change. This past Sunday, Rick spoke to us about the peace of Jesus and the joy that it brings. Looking at Mary's words in the Magnificat, Rick reminded us that the joy we experience is tied to gratitude. We often have the chance, as Mary and Elizabeth did, for deep to call out to deep, and this creates gratitude in us. And so today we're going to talk about joy. And so to do that, we're going to go into Luke chapter 2. So let me set the scene for you in Luke chapter 2. First of all, we have a census happening in Luke chapter 2. There's much discussion in the scholarly world as to when and why this census happened. But what we do know is that regardless of the answer to those questions, Joseph was obligated to go back to his town of origin and register by order of the Roman authorities. Now, this wasn't a census like we have here in Canada where you get something in the mail or you can do it online or maybe you even get a choice to participate or not. This was a census where you had to go at a certain time and take part in it, by order of a foreign authority. Now, I didn't know Joseph, but I do know men, and let me give you a little bit of an insight. Joseph is not a happy camper at this point. Get it? Camper? They're in a stable? I thought that was good humor. Tough crowd. Okay. So Joseph isn't happy about this. This census has come at a time when Mary is about to give birth. This is when she is due, and to travel across the country to be able to go to Bethlehem, the city of David, is not convenient at all. On top of that, you have a first-time dad. And now I have three children. This snowstorm, I think it's reserved. The most joy is reserved for those with young children. We had so much fun this weekend building snow forts. We got a big Rubbermaid container, and we would fill it full of snow and pack it down, flip it over and make these big snow blocks. We made like 40 of these blocks in this huge snow fort to have a big snowball fight with the snow forts. And I turned my back, I have three daughters, I turned my back for 30 seconds and came back with another bucket. And do you know what happened to the snow forts? They became snow kitchens. Anyway, I'm totally off topic. So as a first-time dad, I know the stress that when you go into that first child, man, it is stressful. You feel out of control. You don't know what's going to happen. It is crazy. And so Joseph is feeling all of this on top of having to travel and have to follow the orders of a foreign authority. It wasn't a pleasant situation for him. We also have Bethlehem, the city of David. Apparently, Bethlehem is a pretty ordinary place geographically. It's built into a hillside. There's nothing that really makes it awesome. Except that David, King David, was anointed as king right around Bethlehem. The battle of David and Goliath would have happened not so far away. In the hill country surrounding Bethlehem is where David would have fought wild animals while caring for his flocks. But Bethlehem was far removed from those days of glory. Now it was just a small town outside of Jerusalem. To help you understand what that was like, let me give you an experience I've had. I'm from Edmonton, the city of champions, which is awesome if you're in the 70s or 80s when the sports teams were winning championships. When you grew up in the 90s, it just didn't really make sense. The glory was removed. It was the city of champions back then. This is what Bethlehem is feeling. They're removed from that glory. In fact, the only glory that this town got was from some of the more intelligent Romans who knew the Jewish scriptures, and that there were some prophecies that from Bethlehem, from the line of David, a new king would arise. This means that the glory that Bethlehem got would have been some extra Roman soldiers. Just what the town wanted. Merry Christmas, Bethlehem. We also have the manger. Somewhere in the town of Bethlehem, there was an animal, and it was chewing some hay. Pretty exciting, eh? Yeah, this animal. It got the food, the hay, from the manger. Whether this was in a private home, the Palestinian people would have an area of their home. Usually, it was kind of like a split level where there would be a lower section, all in one room, where they would bring the animals into this lower section at nighttime to keep them safe, to keep them warm, and to help keep the people safe and warm as well. It seems a little foreign in our culture to have animals and people and everything in one room, but this is the way it worked in their culture, and it actually makes quite a bit of sense. So whether it was that sort of situation or whether it was a cave used for animals, either way, this animal was chewing some food that he got from the stone or mud brick or wooden manger. It was pretty epic. And then we have the shepherds. These guys had a reputation for stealing. The high side of society, they were not. The shepherds were excluded from Jewish society because they were unclean due to their handling of animals. As a note, many scholars believe that the sheep that these shepherds were tending were the ones that were destined to be sacrifices in the temple. It's because of their close proximity to Jerusalem. The shepherds were excluded from Roman society because they were Jewish. They were excluded from their families because they spent so much time looking after flocks of sheep. These very sheep that would be used in the temple as sacrifices for the sins of the people. These sheep weren't even the ones used for clothing. These shepherds were the lowest of the low. And so 'twas the night that was pretty much like every other night. The scene was ordinary. In fact, boringly ordinary. Except, as the scriptures say, the time came for her baby to be born. Let me read to you the first few verses in Luke chapter 2. It says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral homes to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So what is joy? Rick summarized this for us last week, that sometimes we know. It's beyond words, we just know. It comes from that part of the brain that is deeper than the parts of the brain that form language. It's deep down inside. Joy finds its roots here. It is beyond happiness. It is more sustaining than pleasure. And it certainly overrides circumstance. The deepest elements of joy to be experienced is that which comes from a relationship with God through Jesus. You see, Jesus changes everything. Those of you who would have a relationship with Jesus today realize that Jesus changes everything. When Jesus arrives in our lives, the world gets filled with real, sustaining life. The little blessings in life, like building snow kitchens with my daughters, they get noticed and celebrated rather than being trampled by the other concerns of life. And this is exactly what happened in Luke chapter 2. Joy cut through every area of that story. The coming of Jesus had been prophesied in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 2 says, "The Lord says, shout and rejoice, O beautiful Jerusalem, for I am coming to live among you." Isaiah chapter 7, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Isaiah chapter 9, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." And so Jesus changes everything in this story. He changes chaos into order. The Roman authorities had created chaos in the countryside because everyone was having to travel to their ancestral homes. This census was an act by a dominant authority demonstrating the subjugation of Palestine. But the act of Jesus coming is an act of God in the deliverance of his true people. As Rome begins to more exert its control, so does God act in order to deal with it. Jesus changes fear into praise. The angel appears to the shepherds and his words are, "Don't be afraid. I bring good news of great joy." The automatic reaction of anyone confronted with an angel seems to be fear, but fear is turned into praise for God. Jesus changes oppression into peace. The scripture says that the angel was joined by the armies of heaven. What an interesting choice of words for Luke to use. Armies for the Israelites did not have positive connotations. Israel had been invaded by the Persians and then the Babylonians, and now were being occupied by the Romans. And each of these armies had caused oppression of some sort. But this army, the armies of heaven, did not come bearing oppression and destruction. These armies came declaring peace on earth. The coming of Jesus changed who and what we belong to. Rome was taking a census in order to enforce that the people belonged to them, to try to force the allegiance of the Israelites towards the Romans. But Jesus comes along and says, no, you choose. He says, I will show you what I offer: peace, hope, joy, love, the forgiveness of sins. And you choose who you belong to. Do you notice that everyone who is part of the birth of Jesus was transformed by the Spirit of God? Zechariah couldn't speak for months on end, but when he finally gets to speak, he comes praising God with joy. Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, jumps for joy in the womb, and Elizabeth is full of the Spirit of God. Mary, a teenager in challenging circumstances, praises God because of what he is doing. The shepherds were shown that in God's kingdom, the last would be first and the least would be the greatest. They became the messengers of the Messiah, the first missionaries that we see. The little manger that was not good for much becomes a throne for the King of Kings. Even those sheep, maybe the sheep's fate wasn't changed, but 3 decades later, the greatest sacrifice, Jesus himself would take on the broken actions, the broken attitudes, the broken thoughts that all of us have. And he would put his body through what we deserve so that we wouldn't have to. So today, how do we experience the joy that Jesus brings? Let me tell you this. Jesus, the coming of Jesus cuts through the circumstances that we experience today as well. See, this story of the gospel says that we are not defined by the status that the world puts on us. Let me read you a story that happens later in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 7. This involves Jesus. Here's what it says. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to 2 people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Simon, you didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Simon, you neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So maybe you are sitting here in this Christmas season and you feel broken or you feel low. Maybe you feel ignored or even excluded. The joy that Jesus brings is that he says, none of these things that you are believing about yourself or that people are putting onto you, none of them are true. Do you hear me today, Living Waters? There are some of you who need to hear this today. Maybe you're feeling broken or low or ignored or excluded. And Jesus comes and he says, none of these things are true about you. The story of this woman is proof of that. The story of the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth and the city of David and the census, my story and the guy sitting beside you. This room is full of people that all say that Jesus takes the things that are worthless and he redeems them. Our Jesus restores and redeems, and he takes the old, tarnished, broken things that seem worthless and he makes them new. This is why I am full of joy today. I was broken and old and tarnished and cast to the side, but Jesus saw something. He believed in me. He saw the image of God in me. And he breathed life into me. And so I am full of joy today, and you can be too. It is because of Jesus. So we are not defined by the status that the world puts on us. We also experience the joy that Jesus brings because we can have peace. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. The armies of heaven declared peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Well, here's a good question. This is why I love you guys so much, is because you ask such great questions. With whom is God pleased? Galatians 4:6 says, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And because we are his child, God has made you his heir." So hear me today. God is pleased with you. He created you in his image. He is pleased with you. So you can have peace with God. We can also experience the joy that Jesus brings because big joy comes from deep within, an experience with the Holy Spirit. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy." Living Waters, let's hear the armies of heaven today and focus our hearts on Jesus through this season as we celebrate the joy that came at Christmas. Living Waters, God is saying to you today, Christmas this year isn't going to be just about sugar plums and candy canes. Living Waters, this year Christmas is about me and my Holy Spirit. And that starts with experiencing joy through the Holy Spirit. So let's take a moment and pray. And as I pray, and something resonates in your heart or your mind, simply say yes to Jesus as we pray. Sound good? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself to come and be among us. What an act of love. Thank you, Lord, for breaking the roles or status definitions that society puts on us. Thank you that in you we are accepted just as we are right now in this moment. Today, Lord, I want to define myself by you. I want my life to be yours, Lord. Father, fill me with the joy that you give. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a sign like the shepherds so that I know that you are present and active in my life. Lord, even in this moment, would you help us to experience your joy, your Spirit at work in us. In your name, Lord. Amen. So you can experience joy today because of Jesus. If you want to talk with somebody about the message today, the pastoral team is going to be around to do just that and to pray with you. Living Waters, have an awesome week. Be filled with the joy that Jesus brings. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an awesome week. See you then.